Crosstooth fought his way along the north wall to the rear, hoping to reach the back wall, which offered quietness and a chance of escape. The fox was a seasoned battler, and cut his way through several pygmy shrews with the long-bladed spear he carried. Thrusting hard, he sent a shrew spinning from the wall top, knocking another flat with his spear haft as he did. Queen Ambala wriggled away from the questing spear point as the fox sought to skewer her. Striking out valiantly with a small shrew sword, Martin came in with both foot paws first, catching Crosstooth in the lower back and sending him sprawling. Ambala was quick. She dispatched the foe beast with a single thrust as he fell forward upon her. Pushing away free of the body, she leaped upright.
Martin will save Balamon!
But Martin was not listening. He ran past her along the wall top to where he had caught sight of Badrang down below, scurrying from the wall shadow to the burnt-out slave compound. Lying low, the tyrant peered through the ash-blackened stakes of the compound to the base of the rear wall. Moles, squirrels and mice were climbing out of a sizeable tunnel, which had been dug through from the outside. Badrang saw his one chance of escape.
Badrang! I am here!
The tyrant heard the challenge over the melee of battle. Casting a swift glance over his shoulder, he saw Martin dashing along the wall top. It was now or never. Badrang broke cover and ran for the tunnel, slashing viciously with a sword at any beast who barred his way. Brandishing a ladle, a mole leaped growling at him. Badrang swung his sword. It caught the side of the ladle, sweeping Grum away as his own ladle was smashed against the side of his head. A mouse maid threw herself on him, battering at his face with a pebble loaded in a sling. Once, twice, thrice she struck, taken aback by the ferocity of the attack. Badrang tasted blood from a mouth wound. The loaded sling caught him hard in his left eye. Snarling with pain and rage, he grabbed the mouse maid. Lifting her easily, he flung her savagely from him. Rose's head struck the wall heavily, and she slid down like a broken doll. Roaring and screaming like a wounded wolf, Martin threw himself from the wall top. Badrang leaped into the hole, only to find Palam in a needle-tight ball blocking his way. The burnt palisade of the slave compound saved Martin, breaking his fall as it exploded in a cloud of black ash dust to the dawn-streaked sky. Badrang had time to hack at Palam only once, before the warrior was on him. He was heaved bodily from the hole, arching his back in agony as the flat of Martin's small sword whipped him.
Get up, you scum! Up on your paws and face me!
Badrang scrambled up, holding the long sword of Luke the Warrior before him with both paws. He rushed Martin. The onlookers gave a cry of dismay as the sword raked Martin's chest. Heedless of it, the warrior began striking back. Steel clashed upon steel as the young mouse with the short sword battered Badrang round and round the ruins of the compound. Badrang flailed out in a panic, catching his enemy on the shoulder, arm and paw. They locked blades and stood with their noses touching. Badrang's eyes wide with horror as he stared into the face of the snarling, unstoppable warrior who was forcing him backward as he gritted out.
I told you I would return someday and put an end to you!
Wrenching his face away, the stoke bit deep into his foe's shoulder, only to find himself lifted bodily and hurled hard against the wall. Martin flung the shrew sword from him, locking both paws around Badrang's grip on the sword. The tyrant wailed as he felt the warrior's inexorable power, turning the weapon until its point was hovering close to his heart. Badrang's nerve deserted him.
Don't kill me. You can have it all. The fortress. Everything.
The tyrant of Marshank's mouth fell open, and his head lolled to one side as he fell forward, carrying Martin to the ground underneath him. With his last vestige of strength, the young mouse pushed the slain Phobis from him and tugged his father's sword loose. Lying on his side with sand crusting the blood of his war wounds, Martin saw Dawn's light beam across the face of Rose, where she lay close to him by the wall. The merciful darkness closed in on him as he murmured to her,
Rose, we could have chopped the sycamore down with this.
Chapter 43.
The sun rose in summer splendour as Starwart's drum beat out a victory roll. Unaware of certain events, a large crowd stood cheering in the smouldering gateway that lay open to the sun-warmed shore and the sparkling sea. Roanoke strode slowly up, placing a restraining paw on the jubilant Otter chieftain.
Silence the drum, friend. Our battle was won at a bitter price.
Brougham worked away, dry-eyed, on the wounds of the unconscious mouse warrior, binding and staunching as he applied herb poultices, all the time talking to himself.
It was all my fault. If I had stayed at Noonvale and not gone wandering, I would never have been captured by Badrang's creatures, and none of this would have happened. I'm to blame.
Balor sniffed. Bending down one ear, he wiped his eyes.
There, there, old lad. There's only one beast to blame for all this, and that's Badrang. Martin settled the score with him for good. The evil has gone from this land forever.
Grum stumbled up with a large dressing on the side of his face and neck. Deep rivulets carved their way down his face where the tears flowed constantly, and he made several small gestures with his paws before Buckler sat him down with a large kerchief.
You may have to excuse Grum, Maester Broom. Him and loosed his voice through a grieving. We'm putting fallen uns to rest. What about Miss Rosa?
Broom left off ministering to Martin's senseless form. He took a huge breath, letting it out in a shuddering sigh.
Thank you, friends. But I'm taking you home to Noonvale with me.
Reaching out, he tucked in a corner of the simple white linen cloth that covered his sister's pitiful body.
Rose would have been alive today but for me, you know.
Buckler shook his head.
You're not to blame, Maester, nor Marthen. No beast yer.
Roanoke looked bleakly around at the ruined, smoke-stained walls of Marshank, where not one foe beast had been left alive.
I don't know where we're all bound, but let's get away from this place.
Baldred seconded the badger's wise words.
Roanoke is right. There's been too much death and grief here. It seems to be part of the very stones. We'll leave what's left of Marshank standing as a reminder to any bad ones of what free and peaceful creatures can do when they're driven to it.
Helped by Marigold, Brome placed Martin on a stretcher. He stood upright and addressed a multitude.
Some of you, like the otters and the shrews of Broadstream, have homes to return to. Those of you who have no homes, listen to me. Noonvale can be your home, a place of peace to live happily in for all seasons. Put aside your weapons if you wish to go with me to Noonvale.
A pile of javelins, swords, daggers, bows and arrows lay at the centre of the deserted compound that had once held Badrang's slaves. On the shore outside the fortress, comrades who had fought together now took their leave of each other. Like a stern father, the warden of Marshwood Hill shepherded the wild and wayward squirrel tribe back to their mountain foothills beyond the marshes. Baldred watched them go.
He'll keep his eye on those rogues. Come on, let's get Martin away from here.
Bound to the stretcher and still clasping his father's sword tightly, the unconscious young mouse was carried south along the beach by Palom, Grum, Baldred and Roanoke. Balor turned to the remainder of the rambling rosehip players who stood alongside others bound for Noonvale.
Old Roanoke will join us once Martin's safe, what? Right ho, stalwart. Lead us to your vessel, my good otter.
Queen Ambala stood with her pygmy shrews. They were the last to leave. One of the shrews had picked up the sword she had once given to Martin. Waddling behind Brome, she called out.
Wait, mouse!
Brome halted. He watched as the queen of the pygmy shrews signalled the otters carrying Rose's beer to lower it. Placing the small sword beside the mouse maid's still form, Ambala spoke in her curt, vigorous manner.
Rose Mouse, brave mouse, we remember her name all seasons.
She waved to the pygmy shrews, and they set off south along the shoreline for their own territory. High noontide hung over Marshank. It lay open to the insects, birds and seasons. A breeze lingered there, swirling the dust and sand into miniature spirals, mingling it with ashes around the carcasses of Badrang's hoard, which had been left for the gannets and scavenging seabirds to dispose of. The once proud fortress of the tyrants now stood deserted and forsaken. The first gannet to land was chased off by Captain Salmon Clog, waving his spade as he trundled out of hiding from the grave surmounted by the upturned wheelbarrow.
Garn! Get out of it, you robin featherbag! Leave my horn alone! I'm master here now, just like I said I'd be one day.
The crazed corsair clumped about, turning first this one and then another, chatting amiably with the slain.
Crosstooth, me old matey, you're looking prime. Her, Boggs, sorry you didn't join your old captain to dig graves now, are ye? Stumptooth, I always said you should have sided with me. Never mind, mate. I'll find ye a snug berth. Leave it to Cloggo.
He worked his way around until he found what he was looking for.
Badrang! Ah, where's your fine dreams of empires now, ye swab? Metal warrior who was more than a match for ye, eh? Well, we're gonna be here forever now, you and me. so let's not quarrel and fall out with each other, matey. Tell you what, I'll dig you a smart new grave. Nice and deep, aye, with rocks piled atop, and your name carved all handsome-like on one of them.
The seabird wheeled and soared over the lone figure below. Sitting in the slave compound, as he argued and gossiped with the dead stoat, who made no reply, as he stared through sightless eyes at the unclouded blue sky of the eastern coast.
Chapter 44.
Days shortened, and the flowers of summer died one by one, as leaves began turning brown and gold. It was on one such mist-shrouded autumn morning that Martin sat in the odd treehouse with the mole wife Pollykin and his three friends, Baldred having long since departed for a mountain and a family. All through the remainder of the summer, Pollykin, Grum, Palum and Roanoke had spent sleepless nights and restless days nursing the warrior back to health. Martin had come through it in silence, never speaking a word. He looked young still. Though healed in body and getting stronger by the day, his eyes still had a faraway look in them. Grum was about to speak when Pollykin silenced him with a glance. She nodded to the sword at Martin's side.
"I be a needin' more firewood, Martin. Will you cut some?"
Wordlessly, Martin took up his sword and went off, descending to the forest to cut wood. Pawing at the scar cut through his backspikes, Palum got up as if to follow, but the mole wife forbade it.
"You sit there, edge pig.